If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org. Live from deep in the heart of Texas, this is Soldier of Patriotism with your host, the renegade Republican, the advocate of Americanism, the conscience of conservatism, the soldier of patriotism himself, Michael B.
Good Sunday afternoon to you all, princes and princesses of patriotism. Today is Sunday, the 29th of September. This is Soldier of Patriotism. I'm your host, Michael B. And today we're going to talk a little bit of grassroots activism, some things that have happened here the last week in Texas. It is 3:01 after, or it's 1 minute after the top of the hour. The phone number is 718-305-7176. You can give us a call. I'd be happy to take your call. I'm going to jump right into this. I want to start off with just reviewing the week. We've really had a lot happen this last week. The Senate failed us. 25 Republicans failed us. We saw a marathon, 22-hour speech, the Senate floor by Senator Ted Cruz, the great senator from my home state of Texas. A man that I fought vigorously for. A lot of you that are listening remember back in the late part of 2011, early part of 2012, when we were down here busy going up against our current lieutenant governor, David Dewhurst, who inherently is a good man, but you know, he kind of reminds me of the hero in Xenophon's story of the Persian prince, you know, who has said that he thought he had two souls, one bad and one good. The good one was benevolent and peaceful, and everything was just fine. But when the bad one had ascendancy, everything he did was wrong. Well, that was our lieutenant governor then. That's our lieutenant governor now. We'll talk about that in a little bit, though. Actually, we'll talk about it here sooner rather than later, because I want to read to you my latest blog from this week. You see, last Wednesday night, as you all probably know, aside from doing Conservative Nation Media with my peers that I do it with and the shows that we do and trying to get that business built with our president and general manager, Duke Brooks, I'm a very active on boots on the ground in Tarrant County, grassroots conservative. And I don't mean this to sound braggish, but I put my money and I put my time where my mouth is. And when I publish a short list of people that I'm endorsing or supporting or working for, it's not because that just seems like the best thing for me. It's because I've put a lot of work into it. And one of those individuals in particular of my list, which is Greg Abbott, our current Attorney General, Greg Abbott, who's running for governor against Wendy Davis, who announces on October the 3rd, actually, that she'll be running for governor. More on that later. For Texas Lieutenant Governor, Dan Patrick, Senator Dan Patrick. For Texas Attorney General, Senator Ken Paxton. Now, all three of these men have received A-plus ratings from the Texas chapter of Eagle Forum, which the president here in our state is Kathy Adams, great lady. If you get the chance to follow her, she oftentimes has so many friends that it's hard to find a spot, but if you send her a request sooner or later, if someone drops, she'll put you on. And I know Kathy, and I've known her for a while, and we follow one another. I read her weekly emails. I'm an advocate of the Eagle Forum, of Phyllis Schlafly in the Eagle Forum and all of their state and county chapters. consistently, all three of those gentlemen have consistently gotten A plus ratings. Of a handful of politicians in here in Texas that do. I mean, we got a lot of good, strong conservatives, and a good chunk of them are A or better. You know, a lot of them are B. Good chunk of them are C. We got a few, you know, believe it or not, even here in Texas, we do have some Republicans that are a bit of a disappointment. Well, my choice for Lieutenant Governor is Dan Patrick. Now, I don't know how it is in other states. Other than our government in D.C., I only really understand how my state's government works. And in our state, the governor is not taking any away from the governor. The governor's position is supporting, because he's either going to veto or not veto the bills that a conservative legislature puts through. That's why we don't need a Wendy Davis. However, thank you, Stacey. If you're listening, I'll get that poll out. The most powerful office in Texas is really the lieutenant governor, and that's because the lieutenant governor is the president. When he's there, he is in charge of the Senate. He sets the agenda. He manages the clock. That's why we had that Wendy Davis filibuster and those pink tennis shoes that made national headlines. It was because Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst did not manage the clock. And I mean, now we're talking about a man that disappeared. I happen to know for a fact, and I'm not going to say who told me this, but I know some senators personally down in Austin. And I've been told, not that they said, Michael, you can't repeat this. As far as I know, I actually think the news approached the governor on it, but I don't want to say who told me. Just, you'll have to take it face value. I've never lied to you guys and have no reason to. Lieutenant Governor likes to drink some wine, and that's fine. Go eat a steak. And it was earlier in the 83rd session. He disappeared, and a couple of senators were looking for him, wondering what's the agenda for the day. And come to find out, he's out having wine and steak, and when he was cornered about it by the media, and they said, "We understand you are out having steak and wine," he said, who said anything about steak? So that was his response to the media. Look, Lieutenant Governor Dewhurst, by any measurement compared to, say, Northeast Republicans, is good, strong conservative. He's been good for Texas, but he's like John Cornyn. He's old school. He's outlived his time. There is a new crowd in town. That crowd follows the new Republican leadership, which is Senator Ted Cruz and Senator Mike Lee. And that's just the plain facts. There's no disputing that. They're having a very hard time with it. Senator Dan Patrick is in that model. He formed the Tea Party coalition down in our legislature. He authored the pre-abortion sonogram bill early in 2012, and that's when I first really started following him, because, as you all know, I'm a pro-life individual. I think that it's murder to abort babies. He co-authored the campus carry bill, which, you know, we fight and quibble down here in Texas. There doesn't need to be any kind of bill. We don't need anything. We don't need a concealed license to carry. You know, we're actually of the opinion that our right is the Second Amendment, plain and simple. But the laws are what they are, so we've got to have, you know, not that I agree with them, but there are some laws. So this was this bill that he co-authored and carried to the Senate was a right step in the right direction as far as our Second Amendments go. They don't go far enough, but hey, Senator Patrick picked up that mantle. The bastard child of Common Core here in Texas we call CSCO. Now, we've made some strides against it. We still have a ways to go. If not for Senator Dan Patrick, then nobody who happens to be the chairman of the Education Committee in the Senate, nobody would have listened to the grassroots Alice Linehan, Ginger Russell, good friends of mine that know a whole lot more about it than I do, and I just kind of take their direction and do what they tell me to do. And sorry, I had to look at the. I got to get something down here on my computer so I can see my. There we go. Senator Patrick picked up that mantle, carried that torch, took it to the legislature, and changed some laws so that our laws in Texas Constitution, as a parent or a guardian, the school district, the teacher must divulge to you what the curriculum is. With CSCO, because the way they set up, which was illegal as a nonprofit, a for-profit nonprofit, which is illegal here in Texas. I mean, that's an oxymoron, I understand. Anyway, we've given these folks a whole lot of trouble because of Senator Dan Patrick. He picked up that mantle, picked up that torch, and we've got a little ways to go. We still have some, we have 20 school regions, what we call school regions in Texas, and one of the bigger regions in the head of that entire committee of 20 is a fellow by the name of Ratliff, who just happens to have been one of the largest lobbyists for Microsoft, which Microsoft happens to be owned by Bill Gates, who happens to be one of the biggest proponents and supporters financially to Common Core. And then finally, had Lieutenant Governor Dewhurst listen to Senator Patrick, or late in towards the end of our 83rd legislature, the Wendy Davis debacle would have never happened. He would have never cost Texas taxpayers money by taking us into a first special session that Governor Perry had to call because of clock mismanagement by the Lieutenant Governor. Well, with that all said, I'm just going to read it word for word rather than try to ad lib it and make it here in the now, because I wrote this a couple of days ago. I've seated myself in the solitude of my studio that I might pause, reflect, and record an evening with Senator Dan Patrick earlier this week on the back porch of my family's lake house here in Tarrant County. As I ponder how I might begin this journey of words, I can't help but think about the contrast between the event of which I will share and the manner in which I'm sharing it. That is to say, the juxtaposition between sitting on the back porch with a candidate for Texas Lieutenant Governor that I support, Senator Dan Patrick, sitting in a rocking chair we have on the back porch, having casual conversation with Texans, and then writing about that event on this marvelous invention called the computer, so that I might upload it onto my blog. It's old school stumping, 19th and early 20th century style politicking meets 21st century journalism. As you know, we're in a battle for the heart and soul of our country, and we Texans are in the same battle for our state. The battle sees us fighting not only the left with Battleground Texas, but the entire establishment on both sides of the aisle. I've been a supporter of Senator Dan Patrick since the early part of 2012 after he authored the pre-abortion sonogram bill. My passion for the senator has grew substantially when he picked up the mantle and carried the torch of that perfidious intrusion of our education by secularists, which he stood opposed to, called CSCO. And more recently, the deal was sealed for me when it was obvious that Senator Patrick would have better managed the 83rd legislature on the Senate side, especially during the Wendy Davis filibuster. It is therefore I can report Senator Dan Patrick is the real deal. And I not only support Senator Dan Patrick, it's my honor and my privilege as a Texan and as an active grassroots conservative in Tarrant County and as the owner of Conservative Nation Media, Inc. to endorse Senator Patrick. Texans need bold leadership from men and women who understand that Texas, like America, is under attack from the left, that understand it's upon them to save us from that hydra-headed monster that is the federal government, which has enveloped us within its anaconda-like folds and left us an easy prey for socialism. I know that Senator Dan Patrick is that bold, principled conservative who will always have an ear for Texans, who will fight tirelessly to protect life, our school-aged children, and our cherished civic institutions and the Texas values that we have thus far made Texas an economically sound and solvent state. After urging Senator Patrick to run for statewide office for months publicly, he announced in the spring he was running for lieutenant governor. I immediately contacted Senator Patrick's office and spoke with campaign director Elliot Griffin, throwing my support and volunteering to do whatever the senator needed me to do for him to help him get elected. Shortly thereafter, I was asked who in Tarrant County might host a neighborhood coffee. Of course, I immediately stepped up. I'd been planning the event with Elliot and the other staffer here in the Metroplex, Celinda Cavanis, a good friend of mine, for several weeks, when this last Wednesday, the 25th of September, finally arrived. As did Senator Patrick, Celinda, and 20 to 25 Tarrant County Republicans, including two other candidates I support, Connie Burton for Texas Senate District 10 and Wayne Christian for Texas Railroad Commissioner, which, by the way, I endorse both of them, and blogs will be forthcoming. This event also happened to be post-Senator Ted Cruz's 21-hour marathon speech shedding light on this perfidious socialist takeover of one-sixth of our economy when we witnessed Americans becoming more motivated than I have recently seen. Let me say, as I was preparing for the event and thinking about Senator Patrick's visit, as well as Connie Burton and Wayne Christian being in attendance and Senator Cruz's speech, I thought about the present condition of our country, both politically and morally. Though I was excited for the evening and the Cruz speech, the thought was anything but a cheering prospect to the mind of a patriot. As someone who had served in the U.S. Army's 82nd Airborne Division from 82 to 88, an individual who had picked up a weapon and stood that wall against socialism and communism, who wrote that blank check to his country, prepared, ready, and willing to give his life in her defense, I thought about the only consolation we have before us, that which changed the mind of the father of our country in the darkest hour of the American Revolution. When sitting on the banks of the frozen Delaware on that memorable night of the 25th of December, one of his officers remarked that the prospect before them was a gloomy one. "Yes, sir," said the hero, "but we have this consolation. The darkest hour of night is great before the dawn of day." I pray heaven in all its mercy that our own condition at present finds that we have reached the darkest hour and the light of regeneration may be about to dawn upon us. I pray that in time, when it was known that the national treasury was without a dime, the resources of the country exhausted, public credit prostrate, that future historians recorded a person rose from the ranks of common Americans, people of moral compass and principled ideas that stepped up with solid, sound conservative principles in the country's history, in the darkest hour of a nation's travail to deliver her from thraldom and bondage. As the night progressed, Senator Patrick spoke from a rocking chair in good old-fashioned Texas hospitality speak, plain and clear about everything from Texas water issues to Common Core, C-scope as we Texans call it, pro-life issues, managing the Senate, and being accessible to everyday Texans. He finished up a great night after several hours in absolutely no hurry to hit the road, even though he had a flight to catch out of DFW that night, to ensure that everyone had asked every question they had of him. Wayne and Connie both briefly spoke about the senator, and I, of course, spoke about both of them as two folks that Texas and Texans need to support. And I thank Senator Patrick for giving Tarrant County an evening at our home and told him he had my endorsement and unbridled support. So I would encourage everyone to please go and check out Dan Patrick at danpatrick.org if you're a Texan, Connie Burton at connieburton.com, and Wayne Christian for christianfortexas.com. Now, look, folks, I've passed up my hard break or my soft break here. Let's take this real quick, and then we're going to come right back. I've got a few other things we need to talk about. Be right back.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Wow, yeah, since the storm, it's been crazy busy for us. We got all kinds of office desks coming in. Here's a This is a fancy one right here. It's missing a leg, but that's all right. Whatever. Washers and dryers from a laundromat. Oh, wow, and check this out. Another deep fryer. And I'm not sure what this doohickey is. Yeah, most businesses weren't ready for a storm like that, you know. But our work's really piling up here at Roberts & Son Salvage.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency. And 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
There's hundreds of fun and simple things you and your family can do to live a healthier lifestyle. Here's 20 of them. Eat less, eat slower, eat smarter, eat your fruits and veggies, stop eating before you're full, up your fiber, lower your calories, get off the bus early, do some gardening, do jumping jacks, take the stairs, take one, not two, take on a new sport, take a long walk home, walk instead of drive, bend, stretch, reach for the stars, climb the monkey bars, skip the fudge bars. Search We Can online to find more ways you and your family can get healthy together. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Fake prizes rising out of the bomb holes. Skeleton boys hacked up from purple.
All right, all right, and that's Beck. Hell yeah, hell yeah. It is 22 minutes after the top of the hour. The phone number is 718-305-7176. This is Michael B., your host of Soldier of Patriotism, every Sunday, 3 to 5 p.m. Central Time. Boy, I got to tell you, I'm seriously thinking about approaching our president and general manager and maybe suggesting I move to a weeknight. This Sundays just kills me. It really does during football season. But we shall press forward. Hey, folks, listen. ConservativeNationMedia.com starts off the work week every Monday in a big way. It's Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. But even if you're not from the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennessee are spreading out all over America. Trust me, they are. They're spreading out from Texas as well. And let me just interject right there, folks. As goes Texas, as goes Tennessee, as goes the red states, which are being attacked heavily, so goes America. Dave Vance and his Veterans Insight and the most informative guest to Inside Tennessee every Monday. So make sure to check him out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council, Inside Tennessee Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, right here on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. Now, folks, listen, I just did my endorsement of Senator Dan Patrick, and we're going to bring in a phone call here shortly. It's one of my buddies from Tennessee. But if you're listening and you're from Texas, I want you to go to texansforstovall.com. Let me talk a little bit about Dwayne Stovall. Dwayne's a good man. I've met Dwayne yesterday, as a matter of fact. Listened to him speak. Boy, the guy can speak really good. Senator Cornyn and 24 other Republicans betrayed conservatives this week. They betrayed us. There's no two ways about it. I'm not going to take the argument that we just have a difference of opinion. No. They could have done both. They could have sided with Ted Cruz. They could have supported Ted Cruz. We would have lost the vote. And then we could go about Plan B. They didn't use every tool in the toolbox. far as I'm concerned, if you're in a recall state, recall their ass. If they're up for primary, if they're up for election in 2014 like Lamar Alexander is over there in Tennessee where Joe Carr's running, or over here where Senator Cornyn's running, the talk right now, look, John Cornyn sent a staffer earlier this week to the Houston GOP club down in Houston. While the person was there shilling for Senator so the person could shill for Senator Cornyn. Hey, I got no problem with shilling. I did it all day yesterday. That's what we do. If you support a candidate, you go out and shill for him. Fine, great. This individual, I've never been booed ever. Even people that don't like my choices, they don't boo me. Guess what happened at this Houston area GOP club meeting? When the individual was introduced as a staffer of John Cornyn, the individual was booed. Now, that is unusual in a GOP meeting, club meeting. I think Kirk would agree. I'm not saying it's right. I wouldn't have probably participated. I don't know. I might have. I really can't say until I'm in that situation. I'd like to think I'm a little more reserved than that. But right now I'm so pissed off. I'm so freaking pissed off at these 25 Republicans who have betrayed us. Betrayed us. Yes, I said it, John Cornyn. Lamar Alexander, you betrayed us. There's a new guard in town. You gray hairs, even though I have a lot of them, time for you to go. I want the younger guys in there. I want the guys like Ted Cruz and Mike Lee. We've compromised ourselves out of a freaking country. It's time for you to go. If you're in Texas, we actually have an alternative. Dwayne garnered enough signatures to get on the ballot. The FEC will be putting him on the ballot this week. Dwayne Stovall to primary John Cornyn. But I'm going to be honest with you, folks. Patriots, activists, listen to me. We've got a fight ahead of us. Going up against John Cornyn is paramount to Hannibal Barakas taking the fight to Sempronius at Trebia in the Second Punic War, with odds of winning the battle about as long as Hannibal's were. But here's the good news. Hannibal won at Trebia. If we seriously want to oust Cornyn, the rhetoric time is time to stop. I don't want to read any more about this, that, or the other. Either step up and support Dwayne Stovall, as I'll be doing and have done, or step the hell out of the way and shut your mouth. I hate to be so crude. I'm sorry. I love you guys. My fellow Texans, I love you. I'm a sixth-generation Texan. I love Texans. I love Texas. And that's why I want this perfidious, poor excuse of a senator gone. If we get behind Dwayne and start getting him money, and we put up a serious challenge, we can win. The fire's hot. The time is right. If we pull this off, our laurels will be as bright as those that adorn the memory of Hannibal. We did it in 2012. We beat the establishment with Ted Cruz. We can do it again. Ted was Solicitor General. He had some sort of a resume. Dwayne doesn't have one. But Ted, when I joined the campaign in 2011 for my buddy Travis McCormick and Josh Perry, we weren't even a bleep in the polls. Every single pundit, Karl Rove, everybody stood opposed to us. We didn't have a chance. All we were out to do was buck the system. We won. We had an upset victory, the likes of which we are now witnessing, the likes of which God has never seen since Jesus Christ. We can do it again in Texas. We can do it in South Carolina with Nancy Mace. We can do it with Joe Carr. We can do it in North Carolina. It can be done. It takes money, folks, and we're going to have to squeeze every single extra dime we have to these candidates to take our country back, or we will be having this fight 10, 20, 30 years from now. Folks, I'm up against the hard break. Let's take it real quick. Then I'm going to get this phone call. Oh, well, and then actually we're going to listen to Ted Cruz. Be right back.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict. The war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
Where do you want to go to lunch?
I'm having a stroke.
Did you hear what I said?
I'm having a stroke.
Why aren't you answering me?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear. Look for FAST. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. S, speech difficulty. T, time to call 911 immediately. Know the sudden signs. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
I'm making beef sliders for my friend Sammy. Nana taught me to always pull meat off the grill early so it's extra juicy.
Use a food thermometer to ensure ground beef is 160 degrees, or you could make people really sick. Sandy didn't think twice about the slider she ate until yoga class, when a nasty case of food poisoning turned her downward-facing dog into upward-moving lunch. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov and learn the steps Maria unwittingly leaves out. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Color. I am a nightmare walking, psychopath talking, king of my jungle, just a gangster stalking, living life like a firecracker, quick as my fuse, vendettas to death, back the colors I choose, red or blue, cause of blood, it just don't matter, sucker died for your life with my shotgun.
All right, and it is 24 minutes after the top of the hour. I am Michael B., this is Soldier of Patriotism. Sorry about that, Kurt, I got you back. I was having a hard time getting to take you off of screening mode. So we've been talking a little bit about endorsing, and I'm trying to get over to traditional American movement, too. I just got to have to multitask here, but let me work on this first. Been talking a little bit about what's going on here in Texas. Now, I want to tell you what I did yesterday. We had a Defund the Constitution event here in Tarrant County. It was a great event. Wayne Doval, in fact, was there. He was the last big speaker of the day. Ken Paxton, who I'm supporting for Attorney General, was there. Outstanding. Matt Rinaldi, House District 115, spoke about the Second Amendment and our rights, our God-given rights. And a quote that he said, any law made by the government that's immoral and stands opposed to the law of man by that's given to him at birth is a law that we morally cannot support. If we keep going down the road we're going, we're going to lose our guns. Folks, did you know here in Texas more people are killed by hands and feet than they are guns? I guess it's true what they say about Texans. We literally will kill you with our hands. Pastor Stephen Broden, got to meet Pastor. Y'all all know I'm a nut about runaway slave. Y'all all know Kay Carl Smith's a good friend of mine. I love what Pastor Bryant did with Runaway Slave. Sonny Jackson, some of the Star Parker, some of the Denine Borelli were in that show. And, you know, I mean, look, it's not about identity politics. I know the movie centered around the plight of what's happening in the black community because of liberal policies, but they're happening in all communities. It just... When it comes from folks of this caliber, Thomas Sowell, Stephen Broden, folks in those in that community that can speak with the passion they do, I think it says a lot. And it's not identity politics. It's just it's It's people. Look, I can't speak. I've never lived in those shoes. I can't speak from the standpoint of a black American whose race has been tried to be sterilized, whose the government is okay with the black race exterminating themselves, enslaving them to dependency of the government. I mean, that's what liberalism has done. Well, it applies across the board now. We all see it happening to all communities. And the facts, though they pertain to the black community and runaway slave, you can look at that beyond the black community. You can look at it, what it's doing to our country. We as conservatives, we want to embrace, to hell with the illegal aliens. We have brothers and sisters in the black community that are conservative. They just don't know they're conservative. They believe in the four life empowering principles that Frederick Douglass believed in the 1860s, who had been a slave. Said, I'm a dyed-in-the-wool Republican, and I always will be. I believe in the Constitution. I believe in life. I have respect for limited government, and I have respect for personal responsibility. These are all four things that we believe in. These are four things that Kay Carl talks about. These are four things that are very prevalent to black families while they're being destroyed, and many of them are allowing it, I understand. So are poor white families. So are poor Hispanic, American Hispanic families. Now we want to cater. We want to bend over to the Mexicans, the Guatemalans, everybody from south of the frickin' border. Screw them. Let's ship them out of here. We're broke. We're dying. We can't afford it. Now, where was I going with that thought? I got to meet Stephen Brodin yesterday, a man I esteem very much. I esteem him very much, and got to listen to, I've never been to a revival in my life. I'm Anglican, what used to be known as Episcopalian. And we're not a fire and brimstone church. If you're Catholic, that's basically what Anglicans are, Catholic. It's Catholic light. Man, it was so invigorating. It was just awesome to get to listen to Stephen Brodin. It was a great event. The point that I'm making here, folks, is you've got to get out. Now, look, I was there on behalf of Dan Patrick, Wayne Christian, and Matt Rinaldi. Of course, Matt was there, as was Wayne. But Senator Patrick had an event down in Austin, and he couldn't get back up here after having just been at my house last Wednesday. The point here is, and Barbara, our friend over at Women Patriots, I read earlier this morning at an event, and maybe she'll call in. I wouldn't mind her phone call to tell us about the event that she was at yesterday over there in North Carolina. The point that I'm making here is, as Robert said on his show yesterday, when you look at the audiences that go to see Barack Obama, they're weak. They have to pan in close. They have to move them all together to make it look like it's a crowd. Our events are filled to capacity. It's elbow rooms. Generally, it's standing room only to get into these functions for liberty. Why we keep losing, I don't know. But I know there's the fight there. And we got to keep fighting. We got to fight harder. Look. I've got a 3-minute clip here, and then I want to bring Kurt in here after the next soft break. Our buddy over in Henry County, Tennessee, which, by the way, my family came here from Henry County, Tennessee. As a matter of fact, I say it often. I always like to drop that into Kurt's ear. You know, hey man, my fourth great grandfather came here in 1838. 1839, he followed shortly after Sam Houston. He had been the adjutant general in Tennessee for Governor Sam Houston, followed him here and became his attorney general for the Republic of Texas, and was from there in Henry County, Tennessee, lived up around the Earthquake Lakes. In fact, there was a dude, I can't remember his name right off the top of my head, but he wrote a diary there. You could find it in Henry County Genealogy. He wrote a diary about him and this fourth great-grandfather of mine escorting Davy Crockett across the bridge there to get him into town. But anyway, let's do this. I want to play this clip from Meet the Press this morning. This was Senator Ted Cruz absolutely tearing up that mockery, the man who's made a mockery of what used to be a pretty good show in Meet the Depressed.
But you haven't engaged in a debate about how to change the law. What you've gone out and said is, let's kill the law altogether. Let's defund it.
Actually, with respect, David, I think the premise of your question is wrong. It is the Democrats who have taken the absolutist position. I've engaged. I'd like to repeal every word of the law. But that wasn't my position even in this fight. My position in this fight was we should defund it, which is different from repeal. And even now, what the House of Representatives has done is a step removed from defunding. It's delaying it. Now, that's the essence of a compromise. For all of us who want to see it repealed, simply delaying it for American families on the same terms as is being done for big corporations, that's a compromise. And at the same time, David, on the other side, what have the Democrats compromised on? Nothing. Zero. Their position is absolutely no matter what. How is that compromise?
You make this argument as if there's no broader context here. Obamacare has been legislated, it has been adjudicated, and it has been tested to the political system. And so let's go through that. We had an election where I heard the standard bearer of the Republican Party, Mitt Romney, say Obamacare should be repealed. All the Republicans already voted against this thing when it was ultimately passed. The Supreme Court upheld it. And then this summer, you and your colleagues said, look, let's have a strategy here of defunding Obamacare. And you had people who signed a letter, and they said they joined you in that fight. Well, here you are now. You don't even have the same number of folks who signed the letter who voted with you in this effort. There are not protests in the streets arguing to do away with this law in the way that you'd like. Again, 56% in one poll this week, New York Times, CBS said, let's uphold the law. So I'm focusing on results, your goal and results. Where have you moved anything?
Okay, look, the facts are becoming more and more clear that Obamacare isn't working. Every day that's becoming more clear. There's a reason the unions are jumping ship. One union after another is saying, let me out. There's a reason why James Hoffa, the president of the Teamsters, said that he was writing on behalf of millions of working men and women, and he used millions, not hundreds, not thousands, and he said Obamacare was destroying their health care. Destroying is his word. Now, why is it that Harry Reid and the Senate Democrats are not willing to listen to the millions of working men and women whose health care is being destroyed?
You're a terrific lawyer. You're making an argument. I asked you a specific question based on the facts on the ground. You've made all these arguments. My goodness, you went and spoke for 21 hours to make these arguments. You haven't moved anyone.
Oh, look, the American people overwhelmingly reject Obamacare. They understand it's not working. The only people who aren't listening to the argument are the career politicians in Washington. It's Harry Reid, who wants to use brute political force. And the great thing about the Constitution is that it creates a system of checks and balances, and each branch has the ability to check another. President Obama, sadly, in implementing Obamacare, has over and over again disregarded the law. When he granted an exemption for giant corporations, that was contrary to law. When he granted an exemption to members of Congress, that was contrary to law. Right now we have a system where the rich and powerful, those with connections to the Obama administration, they get spared some of the burdens of Obamacare. But those who are struggling, single moms and young people and people who are just trying to make it, they don't get the
You're an opponent of the law. There is, of course...
Sorry about that. Look, we're up against a soft break. Let's do the soft break real quick. We're going to come out of that and talk to Kurt Blackwood from Henry County, Tennessee. It is about 44 minutes after the top of the hour. The phone number is 718-305-7176. We'll be right back. Barbara, hang tight.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Peek-a-boo, peek-a-boo, smile.
Smile, buddy.
Come on, smile. Oh, honey, he's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah, maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy. You know how boys are.
Or maybe he's teething. Oh, poor baby, I think his gums hurt.
Maybe he's just tired.
Or maybe his tummy hurts. He didn't eat that much.
Maybe he's not ticklish.
You think maybe he's scared of the dog?
Maybe he'll outgrow it. Maybe it's a phase. Maybe he just doesn't like smiling.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No Big Joyful Smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs or see a doctor today for an autism screening. The sooner it's diagnosed, the better. And it can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs. I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Michael B., Soldier of Patriotism, here on conservativenationmedia.com. The time is about 47 minutes after the top of the hour. The phone number is 718-305-7176. Listen, I'm fixing to bring on my friend Kirk Blackwood, GOP chair for Henry County, Tennessee, and a moderator over at traditionalamericanmovement.com. Now, look, the leftist media would like conservatives like us to think we're just a few lonely voices in the wilderness. But don't be fooled. Americans that identify themselves as conservatives outnumber liberals by 2-1, according to numerous polls. Even by liberals, even if you represent traditional, if you respect traditional American values, there's a place for you to call home on the internet. It's traditionalamericanmovement.com, or TradAM, as we call it here at Conservative Nation Media. TraditionalAmericanMovement.com is the place where real conservatives can meet up without turf wars and find out what's new in the conservative community. Join up, find out what's happening, and be a part of the conservative revolution, all on TraditionalAmericanMovement.com. That's www.TraditionalAmericanMovement.com. I hope to see you there soon. And, oh, by the way, TradAm is a liberal free zone. And it's with that I'm pleased to bring in my friend that's a moderator there if you're listening, if you're within shot of my voice and you go to traditionalamericanmovement.com and sign up and enjoy the chat room over there, this will be an individual right here that you're going to get to enjoy, and that's my friend Kurt Blackwood from Henry County, Tennessee. Kurt, how are you doing today? I know it took me 50 minutes to get you on here, but I've had a lot to open up the show with. There's a lot went on this week, Kurt, and I just, you know, I want to sit back and let you just go after it and chew up some people.
Oh, okay, Michael. Hey, thanks. Listen, I just, you know, I like your fervor on these Senate races. Well, you're into more than a Senate race down there. You got a lot more going on. And we have two here in Tennessee, actually, but probably the number one thing on our radar right now is the Senate race for 2014, in which Joe Carter is a candidate against the sitting Senator Lamar Alexander. And on that note, there's an event happening today that I'm anxiously awaiting the final outcome of it. It's the meeting of the Coalition to Beat Lamar is happening over in Cookeville, Tennessee, which I suspect Bing is there. I don't know that. But I could not make that, otherwise I would be there.
Wouldn't that be cool if he did his show from on location there?
Well, I don't know if he's set up to do that or not. I expect it'll probably be over by that time. I don't know that.
Well, by the way, real quickly, Kurt, if I briefly interrupt you, that's Joe for Tennessee.com. Oh, I'm sorry, Carr,
yes.
CarrForTN.com. Joe or Carr,
yes.
For Tennessee.com. Anyway, go ahead, Kurt.
Well, okay. This may sound a little wishy-washy or something, but it's not really. There's a method of my madness. Okay, you know, I'm chair of the county GOP group here. And according to the rules and regulations, or the bylaws to be exact, I am supposed to remain neutral in a contested Republican primary. However, that probably won't happen. And that's all I'm going to say at the moment about that aspect of it. On the other side of that coin, we've had a flap going on over here because our state GOP chair issued a public statement that some people labeled as an endorsement of Lamar. Our state GOP chair claimed that it was not an endorsement, and here we go back and forth. And we've got a lot of sitting elected politicians that have come out and endorsed Lamar, which, in my opinion, is not a good thing. But there's a fight coming down the pike here, and I want to issue a word of something that I'm not sure what to call it. Caution, advice, whatever, to patriots everywhere. We have a situation brewing today in that coalition meeting over there, which I'm not happy about. Of course, my unhappiness is not going to change it, but there are some liberty groups, I'm not going to even call the name of the groups, who, because of another potential candidate in this race and the way things are being handled, they're a little bit unhappy. And as a good friend of mine put in a phone conversation night before last, that unhappiness stems out of, we'll just call it personality clashes. They dropped out. A few groups dropped out of this coalition. That is not good, friends. That is absolutely not good. We need all hands on deck for this race to beat Lamar Alexander. And I know I'm putting my position as chair on the line here by saying what I'm saying, but I don't care. This is the way it is. If anyone can find just cause to attempt to remove me, which is going to be hard to do, frankly, but they may make a fuss about it. But anyway, it's going to be what it's going to be. Liberty group people, 912ers, Tea Parties, the names of the other groups won't come to my mind at the moment, and I'm sorry about that. But anyway.
That's the three big ones I know of, 912ers, Tea Partiers, and Liberty activists.
Yes. We need to all get on the same page here and support, well, in Tennessee, we need to support one candidate in this primary to oppose Lamar Alexander. We don't have time for this personality game playing, folks. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Let me ask you, Kurt, because, you know, I helped you guys from over here in Texas for Zach Paskovich or Poshevich.
Yeah.
What you're talking about, I mean, I even had a dealing with a couple. I had to have words with one candidate in particular, and I actually reported her to Facebook to force her, and they did. Take down something that she had plagiarized of mine. And I got emails from other Tea Party groups that were backing her. Now, that was Brenda Lenard, I think.
Yes, I know her.
Whatever her name is. There was a couple of folks I think you know. Their names escape me right now, but I've got some pretty nasty emails from them. And the one thing I saw, Kurt, maybe you can address this, because I respect your position, and I want you to be careful. I don't want you to, you know, maybe I need to not introduce you as GOP county chair.
I really don't care.
It's important that you're there, because change can only be made from within. Kurt, we saw, and you might can address this some with what you're talking about and with where I'm going. That's the one thing I noticed up against Bob Corker, was that the various I know it sounds like I'm always bragging about Texas, but do you understand, you, Ron, everyone across the country understands how we managed to beat Lieutenant Governor Dewhurst. It's because the Tea Parties of Texas united. We united behind one candidate. There was a handful. Six or initially, one of them, former ESPN sportscaster Craig James, a pretty popular former Dallas mayor. But the Tea Parties unite all of the factions, and I kind of like it that way. We're supposed to be our own little individual groups taking care of business in our own little neck of the woods. But when it comes to a statewide race, and perhaps I might dare say even a national race, one of the things that kills us, or at least it did in Tennessee with Bob Corker, was the lack of the various Tea Parties throughout Tennessee uniting. Now, look, if it would have been whether I would have preferred it to been Zach, but whomever it would have been, had they united behind that one individual, Tennessee could have upset Bob Corker just like Texas did. What are your thoughts on that?
You're exactly right. They could have, if they would have, but they didn't. And I think the reason for it is there are too many people, there are too many people who in their heart are conservative. They wear the Republican label, but they're still part of the establishment. They're content to let things go as they have always been. There are a lot of people out there that think if you've got a the only thing that's important is that they got the R behind their name. They haven't awakened to the fact yet that that is not true. They're not looking at what's going on. They're low-information voters. There are low-information voters among the Republican voting base as well as in the Democrat crowd, or the liberals, or whatever you choose to call that other bunch that...
Well,
anyway,
hey, Kurt, hold your thoughts for just a minute. Well, I'm up against the hard break, and I want to come back and talk more about this, because this is what the show is about today. It's about grassroots activism, and you're positioned very well as someone that is a GOP chair but a grassroots activist at the same time. And we're going to pull in Barbara Buffing to talk about the event that she was at yesterday. She's going to do a field report for us. I invited her on. I said, hey, Barbara, can you come on? I'd like for you to do a field report of the event you went to in North Carolina, because this is exactly what we do, Kurt. But let's take this quick hard break, and we'll be right back after the top of the hour, and we're going to continue this conversation. It's 4 o'clock Central Time. I encourage you folks to call in, 718-305-7176. We've got serious issues, and the next question I want to bring up to Kurt, and he could think about through the heartbreak with what he just said. Did Senator Cruz unite the Tea Parties this week? I think he did. We'll be right back.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria.
Highlands Military is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Military offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Military at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Military, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Military at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Military, and thank you for your service.
Okay, forest animals, today is a new day. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow.
Yes?
Have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. Okay, river.
Dude.
How's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man. Perfect for a little riverside shoeless relaxation.
Ah, good. Owl, you here? Quash. Who's asking? I am. Look, you know the drill. Sleep during the day, scare the kids at night.
Perfect. I love my job.
Oak tree?
Stop.
Still in the same place I left you last year. That's what I like. Consistency.
Well, it's not like I'm going anywhere for the next couple hundred years.
I know. I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. You'd think he would have learned by now to leave the night before our meetings. Okay. Squirrel, has anybody seen Mr. Squirrel?
The forest has been preparing just for you. Visit a forest near you today. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Do you dream that the world will know your name? So tell me your name. Do you care about all the little things or anything at all? I wanna feel all the chemicals inside. I wanna feel if I'm dying, 'cause I don't wanna know if I can,
if I can see the sun. A little bit of thriving ivy green back in. It is about 3 minutes after the top of the hour. I love that song. I like all kinds of music. I got a great song taking us out today. My buddy Christopher Arps of MoveOnUp.org actually unknowingly gave me our out music this afternoon. When we end the show, I think you're going to enjoy it. It's pretty cool. It's old school. I'll give you a hint. Shut them down. We've got Kurt Blackwood. Dang it, I just don't know how to do it, Kurt. GOP County Chair, Henry County, Tennessee. A good friend of mine, someone I've known for a while. Some of you will find at traditionalamericanmovement.com. We're also going to be bringing in Barbara Buffing, one of the hosts of Women Patriots on Tuesday nights. We're talking grassroots conservatism today. Folks, we're in a fight for our life. And I think this last Wednesday we saw the culmination of what we've been working for, and I think it was with that 21-hour marathon speech that Ted Cruz made himself the de facto leader of the Republican Party. That is, and Democrats are scared to death of him, as are Republicans. And all of the establishment, be they Democrat or Republican, are circling the wagons because people are hearing the message. People don't get, Kirk, my takeaway from that marathon speech, Kirk, was not about defunding Obamacare. It was about making people aware of what's going on, how both sides of the aisle take their bases, their voters for granted, establishment, they don't give one damn care about us, and I think it scares the establishment, especially those on our side, the old guard, and Kirk, no offense. I know that, you know, you're like me, a gray hair. I say that with love, brother. But you know, really seriously, as someone that has seen the decades go by that you have seen, I was just reading an article. You know, right now, Kurt, you're hearing the Democrats, as we speak facts, like Senator Lee did this morning on Mike Wallace. He spoke, or Chris Wallace, he spoke facts. All that Senator Tim Kaine could retort with was the Republicans want to shut down the government. That's the only thing he had to come back with. It's a party of parrots. I did a little bit of research, Kurt. Guess what? During the years that Tip O'Neill was Speaker of the House, he shut the government down 17 times, and according to the Democrats, it was for a good reason. One of those, what you're hearing now, Kurt, is that this law has been passed by the legislature. It's been adjudicated. A second election was won on it, and here the Republicans are in the House trying to avert the law. Tip O'Neill did the same thing in 1987 when the Democrats wanted the Fair Doctrine Act reinstated. They did the exact same thing. Your thoughts on all of that? Kurt, you there, buddy?
Oh, yeah. I thought you were breaking up there.
Yeah. Did you catch it? First of all, Ted Cruz, de facto leader, after the 21 marathon speech.
Yes, yeah.
What did you take away from the speech and the parroting of the shutting the government down after Tip O'Neill did it 17 times? And as someone that has experienced more time on this earth than me, would you like to see a Ted Cruz, a Mike Lee, become the de facto leader of the Republican Party and unite the Tea Parties? Maybe we can make some real change then. Your thoughts?
By all means, Michael. This is what we need. The things that I heard Ted Cruz say out on that Senate floor, even up to and including green eggs and ham, was I had to laugh at that. I'm sitting here cracking up because I know that Harry Reid and the rest of that crowd must have been chewing 20-penny nails into while that was happening. But anyway, everything he said that I heard, I didn't listen to all of it, needless to say, I had to go to sleep. But he was speaking the truth. He was speaking truths that anyone with a modicum of logic in their thinking process will realize was the truth. And we desperately need a strong leader around which to rally. We thought when he came in as Speaker of the House that John Boehner was going to be someone around which we could rally. That balloon went over the House a long time ago. So, yeah, what happened this week with Ted Cruz was, I sincerely hope, a milestone. I hope it was a breakthrough. I hope that people that were asleep woke up and realized what just one man could do with a few faithful friends around him, and that if we will do what's needed, if we will do the right thing, if we will stand up, if we will get off our backsides, get up from in front of the TV, get off the couch and get engaged, get involved, that we can indeed make a difference. I keep getting reminded, people are talking about these situations that where we have these elections being lost to the leftists. You got 20% on the top end that are hardcore conservative. Another 20% on the 20% on the bottom end that are leftists. And you got 60% out there that are looking back and forth from one side to the other one, wanting to know what to do. And Ted Cruz was standing up there telling that 60% what needs to be done. And if they will listen, take a lesson from the Revolutionary War, We didn't have to have a majority to win that. Had approximately a third of the people who were dedicated to our cause were loyalists. Another third just wanted to be left alone, more or less. But that one third that had the fervor, the determination, the loyalty, and the love of liberty stood the test, and they won the fight. Liberty-loving people across this land are going to have to stand up. They cannot stay home and let someone else do it for them any longer. And saying that stings me. It stings me personally because, Cades, I was one of those people who sat at home and saw and heard things happening in the news and around the country. And I kissed and shook my head and I said, that should not be. Someone should do something about that. Nobody did. Finally, one day, I realized, I guess, if anybody's going to do anything about this, I'm going to have to be one of them. So, that's what I've been trying to do. As some notable person whose name won't come to me at the moment keeps saying, wake up, America. Wake up, America.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I think that with what you're saying, Kurt, Ted Cruz, Senator Cruz, has surpassed Sarah Palin as far as the love that, and being Herman Cain being the de facto leader of the Tea Party. I think that person is now Ted Cruz. And I furthermore, Kurt, will go out on a limb and say that right now, Ted Cruz and Mike Lee have an army behind them, the scope of which America has no idea. And right now, it's their time to step up and unite and lead all of the Tea Parties. I've got friends in the office up there. Not that they're going to listen to me. Not that Senator Cruz is, yes, he's going to he does, but he's doing what we want him to do, but. Ultimately, I'm assuming there's that little bit of that politician in them. They're going to be a little bit careful. I'd like to see Senator Ted Cruz and Mike Lee step up and endorse Joe Carr. I'd like to see him in Tennessee saying, if you send Lamar Alexander back, we can't get the job done that you want done. I think we need to be sending a strong message to Senator Cruz and Senator Lee. In these states, like South Carolina, they need to get out there ahead of it. And I believe with all my heart, Kirk, that they could jump out ahead of – and, look, it's going to piss off their fellow senators, but I really don't think Ted Cruz cares. If he jumped out and said, I support Joe Carr and this is why, I support Nancy Mace and this is why – I mean, he's proven he doesn't care. He doesn't care what the establishment thinks. Maybe we need to start hounding these Senator Cruz and Mike Lee. Hey, we'll get you the people there, but you got to step up and you got to speak on. You got to say something about them. Joe Carr's name has to come out of your lips, folks of Tennessee. This is Ted Cruz. I support Joe Carr because Joe Carr will come to the Senate in place of Lamar Alexander and help me get the job done that needs to be done.
You're down there close to him, Michael. I would do whatever I could do from here, but you're close to him, brother.
I'm going to do that. Hey, Kurt, let's bring in Barbara here. Well, actually, it's 15 minutes after the top of the hour. The phone number is 718-305-7176. We're talking conservative grassroots activism, getting involved. And there's a lot of ways we can get involved. I'm going to bring Barbara Buffing in, one of our lovely ladies from the Women Patriot Show on Tuesday nights. We're going to let her give us a field report on the event she was at yesterday while I was at my event. And if you were listening to Robert Garding's show, you got to hear me call in live. I have not had the chance to hear about Barbara's event, but I want to bring her in, have her give us a field report. I've got a phone call waiting for me. If you're listening, well, I know you're listening. The last four is 8712. I'll be to you shortly. We're going to take this quick break. We're going to come right back. I'm going to pull Barbara in. Kirk, you're on a hot mic, and we're going to broaden this conversation. Insofar as not only talk about what's happened and, you know, our personal thoughts, but what we can do more to make it happen. We'll be right back.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo! Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with a hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm! It hurts!
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
I'm sitting here giving. Speaking of activism, I am. If you go to the John Cornyn Facebook page, you're going to see me all over the place. I am continually posting my little live read. Only it's in written form on every thread he's got on his Facebook page, and people are enjoying it, but they keep removing it. It is 20 minutes after the top of the hour. This is Michael B., your host of Soldier of Patriotism, right here on the ConservativeNationMedia.com radio shows, formerly known as Conservative. Well, actually, we still are Conservative Nation Radio. It's just it is now a branch of Conservative Nation Media, which, by the way, we are the mouthpiece for TraditionalAmericanMovement.com. I want to make sure that you do check our friends out over there. And also, our president and general manager, Duke Brooks, our friendly local pilot in command and GOP spokesman, Duke Brooks, calls himself a paleocon. And rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy, Bill Buckley, and Whitaker Chambers. So what would you expect? There's no truth to the rumor that he has a dartboard with Alger Hiss's picture on it. But you can get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and hangar flying on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks. Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, right here on the ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. Let me get back over here. I want to pull in Kirk, you're on a hot mic. I want to pull in Barbara Buffing. Barbara, how are you doing, my friend?
Oh, I am very good. And how are you?
You could tell I'm on a tear today, right?
Oh, man, I'm telling you, I can tell, and it's great because we need that fire.
Well, I'm sitting here looking at a bottle of W.L. Weller that was distilled in 1982, bottled in 2001, and it's just waiting for the show to get over so I can add a little bit of ice and water to it and light up a double Ajiro chisel to enjoy with it. But you and I were busy yesterday out doing our thing as the grassroots conservatives that we are respectively within our states, that being Texas, for myself and North Carolina for you. I was at a Defending the Constitution event. I read on Facebook that you were at an event yesterday yourself. Now, you've heard the conversation, Barbara. We're talking about grassroots activism. Tell us a little bit about what you did, the crowd, what was going on, and we'll just go from there because, I know that we generally try not to call one another shows, but because my show is about grassroots conservatism and our shows are about grassroots conservatism and we are grassroots conservatives, I think today's show needed to have a report from you on your event. So what do you got, Barbara?
Wow. We had the North Carolina Constitution Day Tea Party rally, and it was right around Pilot Mountain.
Is that over there close to Mayberry?
Yes.
I'm joking.
Yes,
with
it
you.
Is. I'll tell you, from beginning to end, it was action-packed. There was a few hundred people there, and I got to meet a lot of people that have been on my show, people that I've talked to on the phone, people that I've been friends with. Jan Morgan was there, yes, and it was funny because she was the keynote speaker, and she was at the end. So she came, and they had security for her because of the work that she does, not with the guns, but with the reporting about Islam. She does get many death threats, so she had all the security around her, and she was behind stage, and then she came out. She was outside with two security guards, and I went over, and I looked up the steps. I'm like, well, can I come up and give you a hug? She goes, well, of course you can. So she started coming down the steps as I was going up the steps, and I told her who I was, and she gave me a big hug, and we chatted for a little while, and then she gave a rip-roaring speech about
let's pause right there for just a minute, Barbara, because we need to be fair to our listeners, especially those that may have not have tuned in. You and Brenda have had Jan Morgan on several occasions. She's even done drive-bys, what I call drive-bys, when she just y'all get the surprise phone call from her. Explain to folks just briefly in a few sentences who Jan Morgan is so they understand.
Oh, okay. Jan Morgan, she is she used to be, and she still is. She does media. She's with Jan Morgan Media. She used to work for CNN, CBS, NBC, all that lame street media, and she had gotten to a point where she was done with it. But on top of that, she is a gun activist. She teaches. She's certified. She's a certified sharpshooter, and she teaches and certifies people for guns and their carry permit. She is like the sweetest person ever.
And
when she's been on our show, she's always been sweet, but meeting her in person, she's even sweeter. It was
women
great.
Are so beautiful.
And she was carrying, of course. she was very cute. Yesterday, I'll tell you, I was at the safest place in town. Everybody, because in North Carolina, if you have a concealed license, you can open carry.
Real funny, quick story on that. Real funny, because see, down in Texas, we could carry into our Capitol. And so a lot of Senator Patrick was, we were talking Wednesday night, And when we had that debacle with Wendy Davis and all of those people that were causing the civil unrest in the Senate chambers, they were literally threatening to come down and attack senators. I mean, there was a call for them to rush the Senate floor. And Senator Patrick looked at me and the crowd that was at my house and said, Michael, I was scared to death, because there's a lot of senators that pack, and there would have been some deaths. Anyway, back to your story.
Okay. Well, she was the keynote speaker, but I did get to meet also Wild Bill for America, who's T-Teams USA.
Who has been on Conservative Nation Media. Mm-hmm.
He has, yes. And he does his videos. I have several pictures taken with him.
Awesome.
He is a hoot. He's a great guy. We chatted for quite a while. And, you know, the biggest message, of course, was everybody wants somebody like Ted Cruz. Because, as most of you know, Richard Burr, basically, and you know, Richard Burr is our senator, Republican senator, who voted, you know, ran on defunding Obamacare, getting rid of it, blah, blah, just like the rest of them did. And they flipped on us. And
the other 24.
Yeah, exactly.
19 of them stood with, or 18 of them stood with Senator Cruz.
And
Weller went down.
So because of that, you know, there was a lot of talk about getting rid of him, and we were, a lot of people, myself included, we were looking into recalling him because it's just, he's not what, he even came out in a statement, in a press release, that he stood with the few colleagues. That's not his job to stand with colleagues. His job is to stand with the people of North Carolina.
Amen.
And I did let him know that, and so did everybody else. But anyway, unfortunately, in the state of North Carolina, we cannot recall a person at that level, and which really stinks because he's useless now. Anyway, also we had over at was Greg Brennan. Dr. Greg Brennan is running for Senate to take Kay Hagan's seat, and we really need to have her gone because it's supposed to be, in this world, majority rules. You know, a majority of the people in North Carolina do not want Obamacare. And Kay Hagan keeps coming back, and she's for the minority. That's not how it works. If that's how they're going to do it, they're gone. So Greg Brennan, he's actually, and I found this out, the team he's got going for him now is the same team that Senator Cruz had when he was running. So I'm really,
well, that would be a good team, I can tell you.
Oh, yeah.
Let me just add to that, Barbara. You realize that team is a very small team. And what y'all need to do for the person, the individual you're talking about now, the team is you and the fellow volunteers. That's the team. I mean, yes, the paid staffers will be there. As you know, I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. But for those people listening, I just want to clarify. The team, Senator Cruz's team, was two-thirds of 26 million Texans.
Right.
For that number is. So I know that you understand that. But look, hey, Barbara, we're up against the hard break here. Let me take this real quick. Come back out of this hard break, and I'm just going to put you and Kirk on hold for a few minutes and take this phone call from this individual that's been waiting for about 20 minutes now, and I've not had a chance to field the phone call, so we'll see where that goes. I have, on our shows it can go one of two ways. It's either someone that agrees with us or we get something that surprises us all.
Yeah.
It is 30 minutes after the top of the hour. You guys hang tight. We'll be right back.
We'll be here.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by feedthepig.org.
Well, I finally did it. I opened a 401k.
So you're giving up, just like that?
Giving up on what?
I'm getting an inheritance from a distant relative.
Don't you think if there were a billionaire in the family, we'd know about it by now?
Listen to me. We are one phone call away from riding horses on our own private polo ground. One call from christening yachts, having a butler, using summer as a verb.
How do you figure?
Look, everyone's got a rich uncle somewhere. It's statistics. So the best thing you can do is just prepare for the inevitable.
Right, which is why I thought maybe it would be smart to take control of my finances. You know, start using a budget, get out of debt, set some retirement goals.
Budgets? Debt? You watch your mouth. Retirement shouldn't be a goal for us. It should be a way of life.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, and you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list, or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
The phone number 718-305-7176. You can find us at conservativenationmedia.com or conservativenationradio.org. We are the mouthpiece for traditionalamericanmovement.com. I do expect my brother, Bing Fisher, to be calling in here shortly to tell us what's going on with American by Design, which is our newest show on Sundays, immediately following this one. I'll try to pull up the link for it here in just a second once I get someone talking. And I can multitask and get that into the chat room. I do encourage Dick Bing does a great job. Look, these folks over at traditionalamericanmovement.com, they're everything that it's a great website. They're good friends of mine. I've known them for 2 years. I don't get onto the website as much as I'd like because I'm literally swamped. I'm doing 6 campaigns here in Texas, plus I'm trying to build my business. Plus I've got 3 kids, one of whom is 12 years old and going through puberty, and I'm having problems with him, one of whom's a star Little League baseball player, and one of whom is a gymnastics person. So my time is precious to me, and I just don't get to go everywhere I would, but I hope my friends over at Traditional American Movement know that they're in my thoughts and prayers daily, just like Kurt Blackwood, who's joined us this afternoon, and Ron Adcox and Fred Hoke and all those good folks over at traditionalamericanmovement.com. You need to go over there and you need to sign up if you're not a member. We're talking about grassroots activism. We're going to bring Kirk and Barbara back in because we're down to the last 2 segments. Actually, for me on my show, it's the last segment because I do have permission from our president and general manager. What we all do, actually. Our soft breaks are optional. I stick with them throughout my show, except for the last 30 minutes of the show, because that's the at 10 till Bing will come on, and then I like to, I I know I'm not supposed to, Duke, but I like doing a song at the end of my show, Put Me in Huntsville, and I've got a great song to take us out this afternoon. It's old school. The hint is shut them down. But I want to bring in this phone call here, and I'm going to answer it blindly. 559, who do we have?
Surprise, surprise, surprise. It's Scott Osborne from California. How you doing?
Oh, my God, brother. How are you? Good.
I'm doing good. We talked about a subject
call earlier. All right, Scott. You're staying with me through the end of the show, brother. First of all, how are you doing? We've been so busy. We used to do a – folks, this is Scott Osborne. Scott and I – Scott was a mentor of mine. When I first got into this gig, summer 2011 on the dashboard for –
Look at 3 years
training.
Ago, man.
And Scott has mentored me – excuse me, my brother. We used to do a show together called Conservatives Coast to Coast. Scott does his thing now. He's busy over in California. He teased me for a while that he was going to move to Texas, but I guess that didn't happen. Scott, what's going on, brother? But you've heard everything. I'm sure you got a plate full to unload on us.
I'll tell you, I do. And boy, when you started laying out your schedule, it sounds just like mine, and it is crazy. And we're working through leads in Texas, and we haven't stopped, and we've got another one this week. So when school started again, we kind of relaxed a little bit. We really wanted to get it in between school, but now we're coming. When is up to the good Lord, but we're coming.
Hopefully the good Lord will get you over here. I'd like to have you especially here in Texas as opposed to the left coast. But anyway, I digress. Go ahead, brother.
Well, you know, you're talking about all my subjects, man. Grassroots. That's where the key to this is. And you know, you and I fought together in the days of Ted Cruz and Zach Boskovich, and Teresa and I were his social media directors. And we pushed some long, hard hours. But you and I learned something really special before that. What brought us together was Herman Cain, and what Herman Cain taught us is you can build a multitude of people using a real simple chat room. And Herman Cain had so many grassroots people every day, daily, working for him, doing something, blog talk radio shows. You had one, we had one. Your blog talk show turned into Conservative Nation Radio. Ours turned into Conservatives Coast to Coast. You know, Michael, I always tell people, Michael, he took his show all the way to the top, man. You do a professional gig. I try, mine's like my hobby in my living room. I don't even know what a heartbreak
well,
is.
Well, but it all started with you and Steven and Bob. And that's, I mean, let's just be honest. You guys were doing Cain Coast to Coast, and there, Stephen and you said, Michael, there's room for more. We need more. And, you know, it's Scott, it's like you always told me and like you just said. I may look at my stats, and it's football season, Scott. You remember these days. In August 2011 when you and Steven and we'd get in, you know, of course then we were having, you know, several hundred or more people listening to the shows. But it always dies down at football season. I may discover
right.
Only five people listen. I don't know, but it's five people that listened.
That's right. And you know, Michael, there was a point during the Herman Cain campaign where Herman Cain's staff, Jamie Bazil, had no clue there were 450,000 people in a database out there, and many of those people working hard. You and I would have to sit down for 3 hours to try and write even a half of a list of all the people that were doing that. But it only goes to show you've got to put that grassroots together first. And, you know, we've seen candidates that put their team together and then started marching, and then we've seen candidates that didn't have a clue as to what to do with a grassroots movement. And I think that's what makes the difference between a winner and a loser.
Well, Scott, let me get your opinion, and I'm gonna slowly start weaving Barbara and Kirk in here, because we're down to about the last 10 minutes, and God has really blessed me today, my brother, that it's been so long. since we've spoken. We need to catch up. We need to take a break and just spend some time on the phone and chat and catch up. I love you. You know, I always have. We've been through a lot of fights together. We've weathered a lot of storms. We've seen good friendships in, but there's a good core group of us that was above that, and I'm so thankful and praise God for that, because we've been together. We've went to different campaigns. We've come back together, and that's how it works. And you and I and many other people get that, but so many didn't when Herman suspended. But you probably heard me talking about Ted Cruz after his 21-hour marathon speech in the Senate floor. I am of the opinion that he has become the de facto leader of the Tea Party movement. What are your thoughts on that? And what with that responsibility, doesn't there – what was the quote from Spider-Man? With great power comes great responsibility. I was talking to Kurt, and we're gonna get Kurt and Barbara back on here. Is it not Ted Cruz's responsibility at this point, if he really wants to take us to that next level, if he really wants to do what he knows in his heart, what I know he knows? Look, I know Ted Cruz. I've been with him on several occasions, and I'm not tooting my horn. It's just, you know, I think about it all the time. People say, Michael, how do you do this? I get in there and I make myself valuable, just like you do, just like anybody, any one of us that does. We make ourselves valuable. The candidates come to us and say, you know, I really could use your help as a volunteer. So the question is, with that responsibility of that 21-hour marathon speech and making himself the de facto leader, if you agree, don't you think, Scott, with that responsibility comes the power to step up and say, Lamar Alexander's got to go. We need Joe Carr. Lindsey Graham's got to go. We need Nancy Mace or whatever state.
Exactly, Michael. And, you know, when Ted Cruz during the primary made that high jump and won, I remember I tweeted him, mention Zach. So we are totally 100% on the same page of this. You know, it's his to lose. He can walk off with the active grassroots of this country and win the game. You know, it's a matter of a campaign commercial of a senator reading Green Eggs and Ham. That kind of stuff is going to take the American people. We can win this. We've got truth on our side. We're battling up against the media, and we're battling up against a side that lies. They lie constantly. We're racist because we disagree with Obamacare, and we've got to defeat that. And, I think Ted Cruz can lead this conservative movement as far as he wants to lead it. I think he could be a Ronald Reagan. What makes him different, and this is the two types of candidates, and there's only one that really wins. We can either spend our time arguing about all the issues, or we can spend our time explaining why we believe what we believe. And I believe Amen. Ted Cruz is somebody who explains why he believes what he believes. That was what worked for Ronald Reagan. That was what worked for Herman Cain. Herman Cain sat up at 30 positive intensity for that entire election while everybody else sat at 20 and below. Ron Paul never got above about 9, 10, 11.
And we know why we got sabotaged. We know.
Exactly.
The initials are MR.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, it's out there. It's out there for us to take. These candidates, it's their job to get the word out. It's their job to throw these snowballs. We got Obamacare. We got the tax code. We've got Common Core. You guys down there in Texas have still got some C-scope left. We've got all the ammunition in the cage right now. All we got to do is throw it back at them during the election. If these guys will use it, we'll get around the media. We'll get the message to the people if they'll go out there to change minds and hearts.
Well, hey, look, real quick, Scott, stay with me. I got a strange phone call. I'm going to get to it. I don't even know what kind of a phone number this is. It must be from out of country. Kirk has to – I want to weave Kirk back in here real quick because he's got to get ready to jump and run and go do something. Kirk, are you there?
Yeah. Excuse me, Michael. Yeah, I had a mouthful of coffee there.
No problem. I have a mouthful of whiskey in mine.
Oh.
You win.
We got our old buddy Scott Osborne on with us, Kirk.
I hear him in there.
I'm going to open up Barbara's mic as well. Y'all, you know, I think we're all in agreement here. And Scott has fought some battles with you and I, Kirk. And I know that Scott and Barbara have know one another. They got to know one another when Barbara and we all discovered one another here last year, I think, at some point. I can't remember when now. Time has escaped me. I don't know, Kirk, maybe is it an age thing or what? I don't know, but I tend to forget a lot of things. But we've got about 5 minutes left here. And what we real – oh, I just lost that strange phone number. Okay, good, because I was a little worried about that. We got about 5 minutes before Uncle Bean gets in here, and then we start winding the show down. Let's spend 5 minutes talking about what – I think it's Scott just started the conversation. Barbara went to an event yesterday. I went to an event today. Kirk, you go to events all the time. Of course, you have to wear two different hats, whereas Scott and Barbara and I don't. We there's Bing right there. Go ahead, bring him in, and he can join this conversation. Hang on. Hey, Bing, what's going on, brother?
Hey, I'm unmuted, man. How's it going, Michael?
It's going good. We're talking grassroots conservatism. I've got Scott Osborne on. Barbara Buffett gave us a field report from an event she went to. Kirk's with us. We've been talking grassroots activism today, brother Bing. I know you've been busy and you couldn't join us for the show, but you'll get the chance to listen to it in podcast. But basically, what this all boils down to is I think we all agree that with that 21-hour marathon speech that Senator Cruz did on Wednesday, he and Senator Lee both, but in particular, Senator Cruz, and I don't think that Senator Lee minds that the attention is focused on Cruz. I don't think that Senator Lee minds that. I think he understands that it was very important. And look, this could be a ticket for me. This would be a ticket I could get behind. But I think that Senator Ted Cruz is the de facto leader. I think Kirk Kirk just had to go. And Barbara agree. And I was just asking Scott, and I'd ask Kirk, and I'll ask Barbara and you at the same time, with that responsibility or with that power comes great responsibility. And I think we need to be looking at targeting Senator Cruz on Twitter or wherever we can. I'm going to do it with some contacts that I have in the office. With that responsibility comes with that power comes the responsibility of stepping up and saying, hey, we need a change. We've got to get rid of Lamar Alexander, and this is who I endorse. Hopefully it would be Joe Carr, and I have reason to believe that if Senator
Michael, we lost you.
Yeah, I lost Michael, but yeah.
Okay, well, I'm still here.
To pick up with Michael, though, I mean, look, what a tremendous man. Ted Cruz is in Hispanic, okay, part Hispanic, and his dad came over here with nothing, basically, at 18 years old. 18 years of age, didn't even know the language. I mean, this man he went to Princeton, graduated cum laude from Princeton, went to Harvard, graduated magna cum laude from Harvard. I mean, this guy is no slouch. Ted Cruz is up there on the scale of politics as far as, not just politics, but as far as what you expect from somebody. He speaks his word. He speaks his mind. He doesn't back down from it, and that's what we need up in D.C. And when we got Lamar Alexander, like we do in this state, criticizing Ted Cruz and criticizing Joe Carr, actually, for being somebody like a David Crockett that wants to sit there and die at the Alamo while he sits there and goes off, you know, to recruit people off on the side, and which one is the best? It's pretty sickening to me when we had 32 people in the Alamo from Texas or Tennessee alone.
Yeah, you know, Ted Cruz's father is the American dream. And, you know, the other thing, talking about grassroots, I don't know if you were listening earlier, but the event that I was at yesterday, you know, we want our people here.
Sorry about that, guys. I'm back.
Oh, okay.
Scott, thanks for jumping in there, Barbara. I'm assuming that's what you did because I just came back on. Skype. Gosh, dang it, Skype. It I got that sonar sound. Where did I drop off? Where did y'all pick up? Y'all kind of guide me back into wherever we were at.
Well, Michael, I basically jump in and say, you know that Ted Cruz's father, I mean, he is the American dream. He is the American, you know, the American idol, if you want to call it, whatever. He's the star at the moment. Now, whether that might be in another 2 years or 3 years, that's left to be seen. But the thing is that he came from nothing. His family came from nothing. And he made himself, you know, Princeton graduate, Harvard graduate, and you know, the guys out there, talking on the Senate floor, and there's people that are attacking him. There are people in the established GOP, whatever, you know, the get-together crowd. They don't like him. The liberals don't like him because he speaks the truth. The liberals don't like the truth, so they don't like him anyways. We know that. But, I mean, the GOP, the same thing. They don't like him either because he's not establishment. He's thinking outside the box, and that's what's good about it.
Exactly.
He's speaking for us. You know, they can only really get their votes from their constituents, and they can't, but all you guys in Texas, well, most of you is, you know, called his office and said, hey, this is what we want you to do, because he's heard it at town hall meetings. And he's the only one that had the guts to get up there and stand up for the American people and stand up for what the people of his state want. And then there's these morons like Richard Burr here in North Carolina who turn their back on the American people in North Carolina. And, you know, it's really sad. It's sickening, and I'm just so done. And that's what I need to jump in, because I'm so tired of sitting on the sidelines, you know, saying, oh, these guys suck. What am I going to do? You know, I can't do anything about it because they're in the position they are. But, you know, after joining Grassroots and just jumping in wherever I can, doing whatever I need to do to get the message out, I feel like I have the power. They're listening. They're not hearing, but they're listening.
Absolutely. Well, Barbara, listen.
They hear you, Barbara. They definitely hear you.
We're down to the last few minutes here. Bing, I just dropped your link,
Michael,
in. Real quickly, tell us about your show. Then I'm going to get just closing remarks from Scott Osborne, who joined us today. So great to hear from him. Barbara, if I don't get the chance, I want to encourage you to go to our website, sweetie, and blog about yesterday. That sounds like a great event. I'd love to read more about it. Go ahead, Bing. Tell us about
there.
Huh?
Oh, just
I even spoke. I got up there and said a few words.
Oh, great. Groovy.
Blog about it. Bing, tell us what's going on at American by Design immediately following this show.
Well, somebody asked me today if I had a guest, and I said no. And I said, except me, and they're like, oh, okay.
You know, I'm kind of guesting myself today.
The best guest is me, man. Come on. Come on over.
Yes,
American by Design.
Said,
5 to 7. 5 to 7, I'm going to start ripping up some butts, man. I'm telling you what. John McCain is one. All right?
Well,
so just follow the links. You'll find me somewhere.
I've got the link dropped in the chat room. I'm going to post it back in Facebook as soon as my show ends. Scott, Bing, thanks, brother. I'm going to join you as soon as I get my show ended and get my link out. I'll get your link up. In fact, I'll do that while Scott and Barbara are giving us their last 30 seconds. Scott, it was so great to hear from you today, brother. Just real quickly, 45 seconds. What's going on in your world? Tell us, you know, what's,
yeah,
whatever you got to say, buddy.
Busy. And let me tell you, trying to help Joe Carr a little bit. Glad you guys were talking about him. Trying to help K. Carl and Frederick Douglass. And you're doing a great job, my friend. You, Bing, Barbara, all of you guys always do a great job. I wish I could be here more often. It isn't easy, but and loved it tonight. You're, I love you, my brother.
Same here, my man. Look, seriously, I'll drop you a line. I've been thinking about you, and we need to get together and just chat for a few minutes. Barbara, just real quickly, closing remarks, because I've got a special song that's taking us out today.
Well, I love doing what I'm doing. I love having my voice be heard, whether they're listening or not. I don't care. I'm still speaking it, and hopefully my voice will go through and get through to some of those people who just don't want to see the truth. They just want to live in their make-believe bubble and not in reality. But
absolutely.
I love doing what I do.
And that's Women Patriots on Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. Barbara, thank you so much for the field report. I really do appreciate it. My friends, that's all the time we have today. I am Michael B. Every Sunday, 3 to 5 p.m. Central, I just dropped the link in several places for American by Design with Bing Fisher, which is coming up next. I do encourage you to check in with Uncle Bing. I'll be there. I'll be on the road, so I'm going to call in and have Bing park me. I may even talk for a few minutes. Here's who's taking us out today. We're going to take a step back to the 80s. Remember Public Enemy? Shut them down.
Hold it now.
Looking back in the eye, and they whip the press and pressurize. They don't really Your crack pipes, liberal.